Another day, another tiger jumping ship. Speaking of a tiger making a run in the early goings at Augusta. Quite a week for Kim Mulkey and her son. We'll tell you what he did and let him explain it to you in person. And the regular season grind marathon is over. The NBA playoffs begin this weekend. We'll break all the matchups down today, Thursday, April 11th, 2019.
Here's White around a screen by Aldridge, driving into the paint. White underneath, gets it back out to the elbow. Open look for Aldridge is good. The assist for Derek White. 32 points for LaMarcus Aldridge, and the Spurs lead by 12, 94-82.
Boxberger from the stretch and the 0-1 pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field and deep. In toward the corner. Going back, Merrifield. Goodbye, baseball. With one swing of the bat. It is the 14th consecutive game in which the Mariners have hit a home run. That ties the 2002 Cleveland Indians.
Jose Altuve leads off, Paxton delivers, and Altuve drills this one deep to left field, and you can kiss it goodbye! Off the community leader's signs, Altuve's second home run of the game, and his fourth of the series. Astros go up 4-2.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you? You ever heard of a guy named Justin Harding? Me neither. But he's the leader right now, early on, at Augusta. And with that, we say good afternoon and thank you for tuning us in today. This is the Jordy Helper Show, my main man CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB, 1037 The Game and 1037TheGame.com. John Rahm, Justin Harding, three under par, lurking one stroke back. Tiger Woods. Tiger got a huge break at number nine, took advantage of it. His tee shot rattled among the pines, but miraculously tumbled into the first cut with a clear view of the green. He stuffed his approach shot to make birdie for a solid one under 35 on the first nine. He's got one more birdie now on the back nine as he rolls on. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of the day. Rory McIlroy at two over par, putting for an eagle. Left it just a little bit short. Great putt. He'll get a birdie there to get back to one under. So we'll update you throughout the course of the day. The big news today coming from LSU basketball as Javonte Smart has declared for the NBA draft. Now, he can get an agent. He can go through the whole process. And he can come back to LSU. If I am a betting man, I think that will be the case. As Javonte Smart won't be drafted in the first two rounds. No. He needs one more year of good basketball under his belt. Now, I don't blame him for doing this. As he joins Nazri, Tremont Waters, and Skylar Mays. I don't blame him at all for doing it. After all, LSU suspended him for a game, went and talked to him, and then reinstated him. He missed that one game in the SEC tournament, then came back, and then he played through the entire NCAA tournament. Everybody keeps asking me, what's going on with LSU basketball? What's going on with Will Wade? Well, it's like anything else. There are deadlines, right? There are deadlines that everybody has, and you have to meet those deadlines. We are less than a week away from the start of national signing period for college basketball, which is Wednesday, April 17th. Got to be a decision made. I think by Friday. I really do. And I think it is trending toward Will Wade being reinstated and going out and recruiting and trying to get a class. If all four of those players, aforementioned players, leave, what does that leave you with? What does that leave you with? And if you don't get a coach in here, and because the assistant coaches, what can they possibly be telling prospective recruits? What can they possibly be telling the two kids that signed in the early signing period? What can they tell them? Be patient? Well, I don't know about you, but kids aren't patient. They want to know what's going on. They want to make sure that the coach that was recruiting them is back and he's going to be there. If not, what else can you do? You're going to lose them. You're going to lose them all. You're not going to have a team. So reports are that a meeting is taking place or will be taking place very, 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 very soon. And then we'll know more. But there are deadlines. And a deadline has to be kept or your program gets sent back into the abyss for years. You can't afford to do that, LSU. And LSU knows that. Cannot afford to do it. So a deadline is coming, and it's really, really close. Really, really close. So we shall see. And I cannot tell you the speculation that is coming across my desk and my phone. It is amazing. From the sublime to the absurd. But I've heard it all. And it'll all come out. We'll find out. And it's going to be really, really soon. So if you're a basketball fan, I know patience isn't a virtue. It's a great virtue. I know it's hard. But we're going to have a decision really, really soon. Really soon. So the federal trial is on Monday, April 22nd. I don't think we come close to that date. I think something's going to be resolved, I think, by this weekend at the latest. At the very, very latest. So stay tuned. If it happens, we'll tell you all about it. But again, speculation and rumors are running absolutely rampant on this thing. Absolutely rampant. So anyway, Javonte Smart, I think he has the size. I think he has some skills. Number one, he's got to improve his shooting. You don't get set shots in the NBA. You got to be able to shoot off the dribble. His drives into the lane are really good, but in the NBA, you got to stop and pull up a little bit further out and take those shots. And he's got to learn a little bit more about the game. But he has the intangibles: size, quickness, strength, will, desire, attitude. He's got all that. But he's not ready. At all. I think Naz Reid had his mind made up from day one when he signed on the dotted line that it was going to be 1 year and that was it. He's not ready. But he wants to go and earn a living and play in the G League or whatever it may be that he gets to do. But, you know, just look at some of the former LSU basketball players. Jarrell Martin was pretty good. Stayed a couple years at LSU. Had a skill set. Could handle the ball. Could shoot it. I mean, he barely smells it. Johnny O'Brien III. Big numbers. Big, strong, physical. Doesn't smell it. So it's a different, it's a big, big, big step up. No question. No question. All right. We'll take our first time out. We'll get you updated on the leaderboard at Augusta. See if Tiger can stay there and maybe get another birdie or two, because everybody in the world wants to see him in red on Sunday with a chance to win the thing. Everybody wants that. We'll tell you that. We'll tell you who our guest list is and much, much more. Sergio just hitting one on the green. The best of the best at Augusta. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. 16 minutes after the hour, 337-706-0111, 337-706-0111 is the number to call in case you want to voice your opinion. You can always email me, askjordy@gmail.com. AskJordy, J-O-R-D-Y, at gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at JHS1037. Jordy Hultberg Show, 1037, at JHS1037. We try to give you a head start and give you a little sneak into what the show is going to be like every day. We try to tell you who our guest list is. Sometimes it's a floating thing where we're always trying to get the best and most interesting guests that we can for you each and every day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you don't get responses right away. It just and sometimes news happens in an instant. And you gotta update things. So let me tell you what we have coming on today, as we know of. At the bottom of the hour, during our third segment, Billy Embody of Go247 Sports will join us. We'll talk about the matter of LSU basketball. What do you tell recruits? Because you just don't know. There's no news to report as of right here, right now. And coaches, I'm sure, play kids that are being recruited by LSU want to know. And you got players leaving: Nasri, Trey Waters, Skylar Mays, Javonte Smart. Emmett Williams has requested an evaluation from the NBA Advisory Committee. So this means, look, again, just because Skylar Mays and Javonte Smart have declared for the NBA draft, doesn't mean that now they're stuck and they have to go. Because I said again, the rule change allows players to retain an agent, and that agent guides the players through the decision-making process. If the players don't like what they hear, after all the tryouts and the combines and all that kind of stuff, they can terminate the agent later, and they can return to school. So the days of being automatically forbidden to return to school as soon as you hire an agent are gone. But we won't have any significant clarity to who'll be back for the 2019-20 season until late May. So you're going to have to be patient and wait and see. So we'll talk to Billy Embody about that, plus the newest recruit that LSU has gotten. Commitment number 11 in this class of 2020, Lorando Johnson of Lancaster, Texas, a defensive back, a four-star, was recruited with offers from Alabama, Ohio State, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Auburn, and several others. So pretty good. As of right now, 247 Sports, their composite has LSU ranked number 3 in the country behind Alabama and Clemson. Do the rich get richer? Yes, they do. 8 of the 11 commitments so far are from out-of-state prospects. So take it with a grain of salt, particularly 3 that are from the state of California. You got 3 from Texas. And you know what happens when you get these commitments in these states, then all of a sudden Texas A&M starts going, Texas starts going, Houston starts going, TCU starts going after them. So you got to take it with a grain of salt. 3 from California, 3 from Texas, 3 from Louisiana, 1 from Georgia, 1 from Maryland. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk to Billy Embody about that. In hour number 2 after Hot Topics, we'll what a week it's been. Kim Mulkey and her son, Kramer Robertson. Kim Mulkey wins a national championship. And as we played for you yesterday, Kramer Robertson takes Clayton Kershaw yard. Kershaw's been called up back to the big leagues. He's going to make his He's going to make another start, I think, on Monday for the Dodgers. So that was his last outing in rehab ball. So we'll talk to Kramer Robertson at about 3:15 this afternoon and find out the difference. What's it like? He's made the jump from the lowest of the lows in Major League base in professional baseball. Now all the way, he's worked his way up to Double A baseball. What's that like? How does it compare? And what does he think of this LSU baseball team? So we'll talk to Kramer Robertson about that. And the regular season has come to an end. That's all, folks. Way to go, Anthony Davis. Way to go. Just ridiculous. Anyway, the matchups in the East, the number one seed Milwaukee Bucks will take on the eighth-seeded Detroit Pistons. Toronto's the number two seed. They'll take on the seven-seeded Orlando Magic. These are all best-of-seven series. The Philadelphia Sixers, Ben Simmons, and the rest of the 76ers, as a three-seed, will take on the overachieving six-seeded Brooklyn Nets. And then you have the 4-5, the Boston Celtics, and the Indiana Pacers. In the West, Golden State's number one. The L.A. Clippers are the eighth seed. Denver Nuggets are the two seed. They'll take on the seven-seeded San Antonio Spurs. Greg Popovich makes the playoffs yet again. They never miss with him as the coach. It doesn't matter how many players they lose. Just shows you the difference, what a coach can make and what an organization can make. They make the playoffs every year. They just do. Portland Trailblazers are a three seed, taking on the dangerous six-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder. Last year, at this time, it was the New Orleans Pelicans as a six seed against the Trailblazers. So we'll see if the Blazers can get beyond and pass that one. And finally, the four-seeded Houston Rockets will take on the fifth-seeded Utah Jazz. So there you have that. We'll talk with Grant Hughes of Bleacher Report about that one. So, my phone is ringing off. The people are text messaging me with all kind of rumors. How about that? Anyway, so we'll talk with Grant Hughes about that. Again, Augusta. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. The greens are soft, and they're shooting right for the pin. I'm trying to get an update for you as we see. I've got the television on right now. Jordan Spieth in the last pairing of the day. He's on the course right now. Of course, he was a winner back in 2015. And we're trying to get an update on where everything stands along those lines. So, CD, if you don't mind, big guy, are you a Tiger fan? You want to see Tiger win this thing, or are you against that?
I'm all for Tiger winning this thing. You better imagine that's going to be a great moment for golf, having Tiger get back into it, get back into relevance.
I'm with you. He is now, he just birdied 14, so he is at 3 under par. He is tied for the lead with Harding, Rahm, and a guy named Kizire. So Tiger played, he birdied the second hole, bogeyed the fifth hole, birdied the ninth hole, birdied 13, and birdied 14. So Tiger making a run as we speak here at the Masters. And, you know, you can't win it, as I've said before, on Friday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, but you can certainly lose it on any one of those days. And Tiger has had moments, and he's played really good golf. He's just never put four rounds together consistently, and that's what it takes to win a major championship. You got to be there. You can't have the hiccups. So he is in the middle of the fairway on hole number 15. He's about to hit his second shot on this hole, and we'll follow it. We'll follow it, but it's he's doing quite well. Quite well. So, there we have it. Jon Rahm is who our analyst picked. Alex Myers really liked Rahm. He's on 15. He's 3 under par, co-leader in the tournament. So a gorgeous day, and we'll keep you updated on all of that. But it would be something else if Tiger could get number 15 and championship number 81 overall. Just think about that. 80 tour wins. David Toms had a phenomenal career. Earned over $40 million in his career playing golf. 13 titles. Tiger has 80. 80. He's chasing down Sam Snead. It's the only thing ahead of him. All right, here's Tiger in the fairway with his second shot on the par 5, 15th. He's 229 yards away from the hole, and boy, he looks like he's staring it down. I think he likes this one. No, it's a little bit deep. It's off the green, so he really, boy, he hit the heck out of that thing. He's about 30 yards behind the green, so he really laced it. So he's got an interesting opportunity there. He's going to have a great third shot, get it close to have a chance for a birdie to get to 4-under on this par 5. But right now at 3-under par. So a beautiful day. Round 1 of golf's first major is underway at pristine Augusta. And Vern Lindquist is back. I know he's retired from CBS, but they allow him to come back and get in that 16th tower where we heard the yes, sir, after Nicklaus in 85. And we heard, have you ever seen anything like that in your life when the ball stopped on the lip of the cup and then dropped in for Tiger en route to one of his major championships at Augusta? So we'll update you. But next up, Billy Embody, go to 47 Sports, is up next. And we'll talk all things recruiting, football and basketball, when it comes to LSU. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back. And some news on the recruiting front. And I've got some very question marks in my mind as far as basketball recruiting is go and how that's going on. So I said, I got to call my man. I got to get Billy Embody of Go247 Sports on to talk about it. Just back from a well-deserved little R&R. How are you, Billy? You rested, rejuvenated, ready to roll?
Yeah, hit the ground running. It's been fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. All right, let's get to football first. Another defensive back. I mean, you got the kid from California, Ricks, and now you add Lorando Johnson of Lancaster, Texas, to the class of 2020 and the latest commitment. Your thoughts and what you've heard from Lorando Johnson?
Yeah, Lorando is one of the top defensive backs in the country, and somebody that LSU really likes is more of a nickel safety. He's got decent speed. He didn't really test well in the 40 at the opening recently, but they think he's a little bit faster than his high 4.6 that he clocked in. He's got a really good shuttle, so he moves well laterally, and he's been a force in 7-on-7, and his film is outstanding. He plays for one of the best programs in Texas, and especially in the DFW area at Lancaster, and so he's been well coached and somebody that they've been on for a while, and Bill Bush really prioritized him and did a great job recruiting his entire family. So Lorando Johnson, who's from Louisiana, gets back home for college, and this is a good one. He's versatile. He plays corner for Lancaster, but is going to be more of a nickel safety for LSU, which is something that they need, and he's got good length for that as well.
Very interesting. He tweeted out, the kid from the hood returns home. So I wonder what part of Louisiana they were from. But anyway, doesn't matter. That's a good deal. All right, I got to ask you, we are less than 1 week away from the start of the college basketball signing period. I've got to ask you what – I'm sure LSU's going out there to talk to prospects, the current staff. I'm sure they've been told by Joe Oliva to continue doing this. But What are you hearing? What are they telling these kids? And what are the kids asking? Have you heard anything?
You know, right now it's kind of quiet. I think the staff is doing what they can to be in the best position to really be ready to rock and roll when this thing with Will Wade gets resolved. So what they're doing is they're looking a lot at junior college players to shore up the front court, especially with Naz Reid and Cavell Bigby-Williams departing. They've got to go get a legit big man. And right now, that's kind of the plan, is to attack it with transfers. But as far as the two high school prospects that they're really in on, Buster Keonis and Trendon Watford, I mean, it's at the point where, as the days continue to go by and Will Wade isn't back just yet, the time is running out to get those guys on board. So it's really, really at a critical time. What they're telling them is, look, just be patient. It does seem like Will Wade is trending towards a return to LSU. And so when that happens, it does give you some sort of, I guess, hope that they might be able to recover and maybe land one of the two like we've discussed. But, you know, as this thing kind of drags out, especially with Watford, who's got a set decision date later this month, it's not looking great there. So they're trying to just kind of ease concerns and have targets prioritized and ready to go for when Will Wade returns.
I'm curious as to, that seems to be the trend, that Will Wade is getting back in. What makes you feel that? What gives you that sense?
Well, I just think you look at, and now this case is a little different than what Bruce Pearl and Sean Miller went through, but it's really not as much. And now that Will has the same representation as those two, they're trending towards a meeting. I do think it comes down to, I just don't know what type of paper trail or anything like that the NCAA is going to be able to point at and say, look, this is it. This is what we need. You're suspended, or you can't go out and recruit, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. But they're going to be able to kind of squash him coming back without just kind of abusing power. So that's kind of where the confidence is coming from, that there's just not anything, I guess, there that the NCAA can do without pure proof from the FBI, which I don't think they're going to get. And if this if the case doesn't go to trial, then they're really going to have nothing, because all the documents will be sealed and Will won't have to testify and things like that. So that's kind of why it's trending that way. It's just more of a thought that there's just nothing the NCAA can really do.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel that way as well. And then it'll be very, very interesting. Because, look, LSU wants him. If they didn't, they'd have fired him on the spot as soon as he said, no, I'm not talking to you guys. I mean, right? I mean, that would have been the protocol.
Yeah, if they would have had enough to say, you know, look, we can fire you for cause, and I just don't think right now they do.
All right. He is Billy Embody of Go247 Sports. I saw Andy Staples write an article about asking about coaches, who's going to be there 10, 15 years down the road in college football, and he thinks that Ed Orgeron's going to be at LSU for the next 10 to 15 years. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be quite something. That would mean that there's been a lot of success in Baton Rouge, and you know, certainly they can continue to trend the program up. That's the thing, is and everybody's chasing Nick Saban and to a slight degree, even though LSU is, you know, took the game this year, Georgia, I would say. But you know, Ed Orgeron has done really a lot of good things, and as they navigate the future and how does Miles Brennan pan out? I mean, it can certainly build into a quick 10 to 15 year tenure before you look up and the time passes and everything like that.
I don't know if you got a chance. I'm sure you saw the spring game in one way, shape, or form. Do you like the level of talent on this field? And do you think LSU has the necessary ingredients to – here's my opinion, and you tell me if I'm crazy. If the offense can just – move up the charts, and it's kind of like with the New Orleans Saints. All right, so I equate the Saints offense to the LSU Tiger defense, and we've said for years, if the defense can just move up in the rankings a little bit, they don't have to be great, But if they move up and can hold their own, then that's a Super Bowl contending team. I feel if the LSU offense can move up the charts, they don't have to be great, but if they can hold their own, make some big plays now and then with the defense that LSU has, that's a Final Four contending team to me. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think especially the way a lot of teams have beaten Alabama through the years, it's not about running it down their throat. It's really not. It's the teams that put pressure on them down the field. They go with tempo. Look, and this is kind of a simple way to put this, but I think it's true, and especially with the way they're kind of developing the offense. If the LSU offense, and not just the performance, but the way they attack, the LSU offense that we saw against Georgia comes to play like that against Alabama, and that was a mindset thing. And it was very similar to the Florida game, too, where you just looked up and you were just kind of wondering what was going on. Where did this hurry-up offense and the tempo and run pass combination, where did it go from the Georgia game? That's right. What they need to try and do to Alabama is take those shots down the field and get the ball in their hands quickly and just put pressure across the field on Alabama. It's more of a mindset offensively than I think it necessarily is a talent deficiency offensively.
I am with you. Get it out of his hands quick. Get it in space to your playmakers and let them make plays. And don't let that front, defensive front, and those linebackers blitz you and get you for losses. I'm with you. It's all in the mind to me. Back to basketball. As I flitter all around, but as we're talking, other things are popping up in my head. I'm like a good baseball player. I was 2 for 4. I expected Naz Reid and Tremont Waters to enter their name into the NBA draft. I was taken aback by Skylar Mays, and then not so much with Javonte Smart. How about you?
I see why Javonte is entering his name, and I see why Skylar is too. It's his opportunity to get feedback, and I think the same with Javonte. And I can understand if Javonte doesn't come back. I really can. With everything that went on and all those things. But, I mean, the fact is he needs more time in a college program.
No question.
And he can start next year and do all those things. But for Skylar, it's definitely about getting feedback on his NBA status and what he needs to do next year. And it's the first time he's done it. And you know what? Javonte, in my mind, has kind of been viewed as a two-year type player too. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong, I think, 2 years was kind of what a lot we're expecting out of him in terms of his time at LSU. So he can go through this process, get the same feedback. But it is kind of funny when you read all the Instagram posts and they're long and they thank everyone and it's just this finality to it. And then, in all likelihood, I think Skylar Mays and, to a slightly lesser degree, Javonte Smart will end up returning to LSU.
I agree. I like that backcourt. I really do. I'm sure some other schools are poaching, trying to lure an Emmett Williams and Darius Days away. But and even Emmett Williams threw his name in the hat a little bit to see, give me some advice. Where do I rank in this thing? And I don't blame them for doing that. But they're not ready, not even close. But they have the nucleus if some of these guys come back to be a pretty decent club next year. If some of these recruits... And that's why this is such a critical time, right? They kind of figure something out and either get the coach back or get rid of the coach and get a new coach, but so you can get some players.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a critical moment, and they've got a chance to do something really special. And that's also why you haven't seen a lot of the assistants jumping either. I mean, they're committed. They're still doing their thing. And, I think Tony Benford's future is definitely questionable, but he's still here. He's doing his thing for the kids. While Will Wade is still suspended. And then once I think things kind of work out there, I think we'll get an answer as to whether he'll, head to College Station or not, a true answer. But that's a kind of a different story. But these assistants, they love being here. They've got a great core next year, and they can accomplish a lot.
Yeah. Don't you think a decision, this is Thursday. I got to believe by this weekend, something has to happen. Something has to be decided one way or the other. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm completely off base. But if they want to get a recruiting class and salvage the two kids that they've already signed with them, they got to make something happen really quickly. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I think, you know, there's been rumblings for the past 24 hours that, you know, today or yesterday was supposed to be a meeting, and, you know, I haven't gotten that info one way or the other yet, but they've got to get moving and got to get going on this thing, because it just is really, it's starting to drag out. And, you know, I mean, I know the trial is looming and all those things, but it's just kind of, you know, you feel for the kids because yes. It ultimately comes back to them where, well, all right, so fast forward 2 weeks and the late signing period has hit, and, you know, they didn't get Watford and they didn't get Kionis, and okay, and all right, that's two elite players that you don't end up having on your roster, mm-hmm. or your roster next year. You know, do the transfers, start deciding soon and taking visits during this time, and then get into their next program in the summer, and then you're just left like, you know, and Emmett and Darius are really good players in the front court, and they'll be really good sophomores, but you've got to get another legit contributor there, you know, besides Cortese Cooper coming off of his redshirt year.
And you need some shooters, man. You need some shooters. So, yeah, what a crazy year it was. What a crazy, fun ride it was. I mean, the highest of highs and some of the craziest of crazy times. But LSU basketball was back, and I think it can stay there. But they got to make a decision, and they got to make something happen like ASAP. And I would be surprised if the Friday news cycle comes and goes and there's not some decision made by then. I really would, because they got to get on the road and recruit and bring these kids back in. And that would be my guess. So I think it might be a busy day for you tomorrow, big guy. It might be a busy day.
I'm around. I'll be ready.
All right. Well, we shall see. Keep us up to date, man. I greatly appreciate your time. I'm glad you got some rest, and enjoy the weekend, my friend. Enjoy.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Billy Embody, the best. Go to 247 Sports. They got to do something quickly. They have to. The longer this thing waits, the further and further behind you fall, and you can't afford to do that. You got really good momentum. You can't afford to do that. Javonte Smart ain't ready for the NBA, and they're going to tell him that. Skylar Mays, so close to getting his degree, right? I mean, I know he can always come back, but no, come on back. That's a good backcourt. That's a good backcourt. Anyway, okay, we're back. Wrapping up hour number one next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helfer Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. 52 minutes after the hour, it's now official. The stalemate between suspended LSU basketball coach Will Wade and LSU officials is drawing to a close. The two parties are indeed scheduled to meet tomorrow on Friday, according to a report from Sports Illustrated. LSU Senior Associate Athletic Director Robert Munson said in a statement to Sports Illustrated, quote, "I can confirm there is a meeting scheduled tomorrow with Coach Wade, LSU officials, and the NCAA, within the parameters that LSU first requested in early March. University officials have made clear their expectation for full cooperation and transparency in this first step in a process toward resolution." All right. As of today, Will Wade's been suspended for 34 days. It started on March the 8th after those media reports. You know all that, right? You know all that. And it's ironic that Wade openly was speaking about a strong-ass offer he made in the recruitment of current LSU guard Javonte Smart back in 2017. Smart declared for the NBA draft today. Will Wade hasn't said anything to anyone ever since that last public statement on March 14th when he made a public appeal to resume his coaching duties. So we're getting closer and closer to some type of a conclusion here. And it would not shock me at all if some conclusion comes tomorrow in some way, shape, or form. So, oh, the buzzers will be out, and they'll be looking, and they'll be lurking. Where the meeting will be held, your guess is as good as mine. No idea. Is it going to be on campus? I doubt it. A neutral site? Probably. But we'll see. We'll see. Meanwhile, back at Augusta, Tiger Woods made a par on the par 5 15th, made a par on the par 3 16th. He is at 3 under par. Jordan Spieth just had a collapse on the 6th, a double bogey. He is now at plus 3. Phil Mickelson's at 1 under, but Tiger Woods in the lead at with about 4 others at 3 under par, as he's got to play 17 and 18 to finish his round today. So far, he, John Rahm, Adam Scott, Justin Harding, Gary Woodland, and Patton Kizzire are at 3 under par. Ricky Fowler, Corey Connors, J.B. Holmes, 2 under par with a bunch of others as well. And Phil Mickelson, Bernhard Langer, Dustin Johnson, Bruce Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Francisco Molinari at 1 under par. So a who's list of names. And Tiger Woods right there at the top. You picked about, the experts said about 20 people had a chance to win this thing. And Tiger Woods was one of those 20. And it always helps when he gets off to a good start. And off to a good start, he is. So stay tuned. For that, stay tuned for more on this LSU basketball situation. Meanwhile, LSU baseball will be departing as we speak to head to Columbia, Missouri. They'll have a 3-game set this weekend as they try to seize and continue to hold on to the lead in the SEC West. Everybody's up in arms about these midweek games. And look, it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Yeah, they try to win. But for Southern University, that's their biggest game of the year. And they're going to pitch their best pitcher and play their best players. And sometimes pitcher gets hot, and sometimes LSU loses. That's just the way it happens. So don't be alarmed. Let's see what happens on the weekend. Oh, my goodness, look at that. Rory McIlroy from way downtown gets a birdie, gets a 2 on the par 3 16th to get to 1 under par for the early goings-on in the tournament. All right, hour number one is history. A busy second hour. We'll talk baseball with Kramer Robertson, basketball with Grant Hughes. But we always start things off with hot topics. This is the Jordy Helpert Show, Thursday edition style, on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle!
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, hour number two, and away we go on another beautiful Chamber of Commerce, but a little bit on the warm side day today. It's a beautiful Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us. If you're just joining us, welcome aboard. The Masters is underway, and Tiger Woods is 3 under par, along with John Rahm, his playing partner for the day. He is on the green at number 17, and we'll update you along the way. A busy second hour planned for you and yours. Kramer Robertson, the former LSU shortstop, now in Double-A baseball in the St. Louis Cardinals organization. Earlier this week, Clayton Kershaw was on the mound, and Kramer Robertson hit a home run off of him. He'll share that experience with us and talk about this great week for his family. And then the marathon of an 82-game regular season is over, a couple of days off, and then Saturday the NBA playoffs begin. We'll break it all down with our NBA analyst of Bleacher Report, Grant Hughes. But without further ado, we do it every day at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, Leonard Fournette forgot to pay a traffic ticket and spent a little time in the pokey today. How about that, CD? How are you?
The optics on that one, not very good for Leonard Fournette, no. But hopefully he's able to get through this just fine, because obviously this is tough.
Going 32 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone. I mean, what's that? Come on, Leonard. Just pay the ticket. Come on. All right, anyway.
It's not that much. We know Leonard Fournette's getting paid a good bit, especially considering he's a first-round guy. And speaking of the first round, Jordy, the NBA playoffs, they are now set in stone. And I got to ask you, which one round one matchup are you most looking forward to this weekend?
It's either between the Thunder and the Trailblazers, or I think the Jazz and the Rockets is going to be intriguing because they've got that big Rudy Gobert back there to protect the rim so they can cram and jam right all they want on James Harden, force him to put the ball on the deck and drive to the lane, and Gobert will be there. I think the Jazz has a chance to win that one. So I'm looking forward to the 5-seeded Jazz versus the 4-seeded Rockets in the Western Conference.
That's going to be a fun one, Jordy, looking ahead towards the NBA playoffs. I think that one might be one of my personal favorites. And we can't ignore the fact you've got the Orlando Magic back in the playoffs. Nobody saw that coming at all, Jordy.
No. They got no shot. They got no shot against Toronto. None.
No shot at all, Jordy?
No, none. None. Zip.
I like it a lot, Jordy. I like the confidence there, Jordy. Let's see if you're as confident about this next question concerning LSU basketball. Javonte Smart, you talked about it earlier. He declared for the NBA draft. They got me thinking, is he a first-round guy?
Oh, no. He's not even a second-round guy. He will be a free agent, and it wouldn't surprise me in the very, very least if he goes through the process and comes back to LSU. Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
The benefit of the NBA rule to where you can come back if you're not getting drafted, or if you're basically free, you'd be able to come back. That's just a huge step in the right direction for the NBA.
Yes.
And Jordy, you know, you've been talking about the Masters all day long, and you know, I got to ask you right now, Jordy, straight up, is the Masters going to it on your bucket list?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've driven up to it. I drove up Magnolia Lane and looked at the place, but I never got on the course. That's on my bucket list. Absolutely.
So it's safe
to say. Maybe Chuck Wood will spring for that. You and me next year. What do you say?
Hey, I'd be down with it, Jordy. You know, we'd probably wind up getting into that lottery, if you will. I know Dellinger was part of that last year. And Scott Rabelais, I think we're jealous of him because every year he winds up being able to go to that.
Yeah. Good for Scott. He loves it, and I'm happy for him. All right, let's see. As we speak during Hot Topics, Tiger Woods on 17 for a putt from about 8 feet away. Here it comes, and slides to the right. I don't know if that was for birdie or par, but we shall see in just a second. Tiger, that was a bogey 5 at number 17, so he drops down to 2 under. In second place, or really sixth place, because there's 5 ahead of them. All right, continue.
All right, jumping over to Major League Baseball, Jordy. A lot of controversy surrounding a new deal for Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves. The second baseman agreed to terms with a 7-year, $35 million contract, Jordy. That is a rough deal, considering the fact you saw last year Jose Altuve, about a year ago, get paid well over $100 million more than what we're seeing with Albies, who's definitely probably one of the great young players, it's just a tough break for him.
He's 22. That means he's under club control past his age 30 season. He's hitting 364 with one homer, two RBIs in 11 games this season. He was named to the National League All-Star team last year. I mean, the Braves getting him on the cheap, right? My goodness.
They're getting him on the cheap, and a lot of people are complaining about it. Probably the worst player contract many people are saying about it. You agree with that statement?
It's pretty bad. I mean, when you think about all the money that's out there. But, hey, if the Braves, if Ozzie's going to sign on the dotted line, and shame on him. And good for the Braves, I guess. I'm always on the player's side, but I don't know what they said to the kid, but they got him. So 7 years, $35 million. I mean, that's $5 million a year. That's not chump change, obviously, but it is compared to what some of the others are making.
Yeah, especially when we're seeing what's happening right now, obviously, with Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman getting paid $100 million a couple years into his major league career. And then you've got the Mike Trout situation, Bryce Harper. It's just a very bad deal for him. But we got to look over at the Seattle Mariners, Jory. They have definitely been the surprise of this early season. It's a small sample size, but 15 straight games to open up the season with a home run, Jory. It's outstanding, and probably one of the best teams in the league right now. But, Jory, this is a team that's never been able to find their footing and get things done when it matters the most. Can they wind up getting this to be sustainable?
Nope, not in my opinion. Look, they beat the 2002 mark that was set by the Cleveland Indians. I wonder if Bob Uecker was up there with the rest of the tribe and, you know, the old Indians. Anyway, I don't think they can sustain it. No, good for them. 15 straight games, the longest opening home run streak in Major League Baseball history. But it comes down to the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros. Plain and simple.
I'd have to agree with you.
But look, they're 12-2. 12-2, and they lead the AL West, but I just don't think it's sustainable.
I think this series this weekend between the Astros and the Mariners is going to wind up being huge. Both these teams definitely on a heater. I mean, you got the Astros. They've won six straight, and more importantly, swept the Yankees. And that was quite impressive. Jose Altuve getting two home runs in that final game of the series last night.
It says an awful lot. The Astros are back after a slow start. They're back and playing. And you're right. This is a great opportunity against the Seattle Mariners. Phil Mickelson just birdied one. Tiger off the tee in 18 hits into a sand trap. So a great start. But here again, some wayward drives gets him in trouble. And we'll see if he can get up and down and salvage a par on 18 to close things out at 2 under par. We shall see. But, again, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox, somebody has to prove me differently.
I think that's a valid point you got there, Jordy. It definitely seems like it's those three teams are always going to be in consideration in the not too distant future because of the fact that the Astros, one, they have that farm system. The Red Sox, they're the Red Sox. They always be a contender nowadays. And the Yankees.
And the Yankees.
The Yankees are hit or miss for me, though, Jordy, because of the fact you have two guys like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton who are home run machines but aren't necessarily going to wind up being able to feast in terms of getting things done and hitting for average compared to what we're seeing with the Astros.
Yeah, I agree. They either hit it out the yard or they strike out a lot. So we shall see. All right, there's your Hot Topics. Job well done, CD, as the Masters rolls on. We will roll on as well. We're brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet, by the Biard family right there in St. Martinville. Only the finest spices, only the finest peppers, and that's why it's the finest hot sauce you'll find anywhere. Yes, indeed. Cajun Chef, bring a small bottle with you wherever you go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Kramer Robertson, what's it like hitting a homer off of Clayton Kershaw? You'll find out next.
Topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, welcome back. I tell you what, for one family, it's been quite a week. First off, on Sunday, The Baylor Bears women's basketball team cut down the nets, winners of a national championship. We had Kim Mulkey on, the head coach, earlier in the week. And then right after that, her son, the former LSU Tigers shortstop extraordinaire, did something of quite an accomplishment in Double-A baseball. And Kramer Robertson, kind enough to join us today. My friend, how in the heck? You're doing pretty good, man. What's going on these days?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Just enjoying my time in Double-A. We just started the season, and so far, so good. It's been a good week for the family and a good week for myself.
Yeah, all right. So mom cuts down the nets, and then you're playing a ball game and doing a little rehab work is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, Clayton Kershaw. And on the second pitch that he throws to you at a certain at-bat, you take it yard. Man, where does that go on the Kramer-Robertson hierarchy?
Oh, man, that one was up there. That was a special moment that I'll remember forever. I'll tell my grandkids about that one day. I'd faced him the bat before, and he was telling me nothing but sliders and curveballs. They were almost unhittable, especially in the locations that he was throwing it. So I went up there with that at bat looking for one pitch in one location, and I was fortunate enough to get it and not miss it.
Well, apparently he's healthy enough because they're bringing him back. He's making a start, I think, on Monday for the big club, the Dodgers. So good for you, man. That is what was it like coming back in the dugout to that one?
I mean, I was trying to play it off as best I could, but it was tough. You know, I was fighting back a smile all the way around bases, and then when I sat there, I was like, just thinking to myself, like, man, what did I just do? That was crazy, but it was a cool atmosphere. It reminded me of being a little bit back in college and having the big crowd and everything with Kershaw being there in a nice stadium. So I had some adrenaline and just a great memory overall for me.
That is awesome. Kramer Robertson, Double-A baseball for the Springfield Cardinals. So you're like George and Weezy, man. You keep moving up, moving up, moving up. We're always told the stories of A-ball and single A, you know, and what's it like coming from, and I'm sure you've been asked this a ton of times, but heck, indulge us, please. What's it like going from LSU baseball and then starting off in the lower rung of professional baseball?
I mean, it's definitely an adjustment. It's tough, especially at first. I mean, you're going from playing in front of sold-out crowds, chartered flights, and being pampered at LSU. It's you're treated like a big leaguer there. Then you go to the minor league baseball, and it's not nearly as nice. You're going on long bus rides everywhere through the night. You're playing every single day. You're not staying at as nice of a hotel as the lower levels. And once you get to the double A, triple A level, it's a little bit better. You're staying in nicer hotels and nicer ballparks and clubhouses, but it's definitely an adjustment. You got to stay self-motivated, and you have to, see the light at the end of the tunnel and really believe in yourself, because it can get monotonous going there every day, especially in the lower levels. It's not playing in front of big crowds, and you know the talent is unbelievable. So you're going out there and you're playing against the best talent in the world, but you don't have all the extra factors like fans and playing on TV and everything else to keep you motivated. So you have to find that motivation within yourself to perform and continue to move through the ranks.
I would imagine it challenges your love for the game, but it's your love of the game that keeps you going.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing is if you love it, you know, you're going to be fine. And I love it. I still get butterflies, whether there's 10,000 people in the stands or 100 people in the stands. I still get butterflies when the national anthem plays. I still get excited to go to the yard and get to put on a uniform and play baseball every day. So as long as it doesn't feel like a job to me, I know that something's right and that I have the right mindset if I'm so excited and having butterflies for every game.
Very curious about this. When you're at LSU, you're a team, you're a family, you're a brotherhood. I get the impression as you're working your way up, the only way you can work your way up is to get noticed and to put up numbers. So is there a team atmosphere in single A, double A, or is it everybody, I'm trying to get mine so I can get up and get out of here?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, in college, you know, I couldn't tell you after the game if I was 4-for-4 or 0-for-4. As long as we won, and I did everything to help the team win that day, that's truly all that mattered in college. And in professional baseball, your numbers matter. It's your job now, and you have to put up numbers if you want to keep moving, and you have to produce. But at the same time, you're grinding with your teammates every day. So you want to see them do well also. But it's definitely a little more selfish. It's definitely more about yourself when you get to professional baseball. But at the same time, you still want to be a good teammate. You still want to have your guys back. And continue to learn to be a team, because when you get to the big leagues, it's you have to know how to win, and you have to be a winning player. So you still have to do the little things and be a good teammate at the lower levels.
Yeah, but see, that's why you were the leader of LSU. There's not many out there like you, so that certainly aids in your favor. I'm curious about what the difference in competition is from single A to double A. I would imagine double A, you're facing, every time you get a bat in your hand and you step into that batter's box, you're facing the equivalent of maybe a Friday night starter every time, a Friday night SEC starter every time you go to bat?
Yeah, I would say a high-end Florida, Texas A&M, LSU, a high-end SEC starter every single at bat. There are no breaks. I can remember last year even being in high facing 2 years ago the fourth overall pick, and then the next night we had Casey Mize, the number one overall pick, and then the next night we had a Latin kid from the Dominican throwing 98 to 100, who I think just broke into the show. So it's literally every single night. It's every guy in the bullpen. So there are no breaks, and those 0 for 5 that you had in college will turn to 0 for 20 in a blink of an eye. So you literally have to take it one pitch, one at bat at a time. You can't rest on your past laurels if you do well, because it'll humble you quickly, but you also can't get in your own head if you have a bad game or a bad at bat. You have to continue to look forward and not press, and it, you know, you're gonna fail. And I think that's what, you know, playing for Coach Maneri and playing at LSU prepared me so well for professional baseball, because of how much pressure he put on me in practice and on everybody in practice, and you know, having to play and with so much pressure on you, though, she really prepares you well for professional baseball, because you're expected to perform regardless of any situation.
That's right. That's right. And you had that 1 year where you didn't perform up to what you expected yourself, but then you went back to work, and your final year was magnificent. So you've had a little taste of the ups, and you've had a little taste of the downs, and I got to believe that's part of your education and your growth that's helped you get to where you are now.
Absolutely. It prepared me very well for professional baseball. Like I was saying, the talent level is just unreal. Once you get to double A, you're stepped on the big league. So, there's no breaks with the pitchers. The defense is better. So you're going to fail, and you just have to realize that you're going to fail. But tough times don't last in this game. Tough people do, and you just have to keep your nose down and go to work every day and be a professional.
So you're traveling better, you're staying in better hotels, and I bet you the food's even better now that you're in double A.
It is, it is. the budget's a little higher for the food here as well. People pack your bags and carry your bags for you at this level. So,
what?
It definitely gets better. You start to feel more like a professional, but it's good, because it's hard to get to this level. There's so many levels that people don't even realize, the levels of rookie ball before you
get
to A ball.
Yeah.
Then low A, then high A, then double A, and triple A. So, to get to this level is an honor already in its own, but I'm not satisfied, and I won't ever be satisfied. And I think any good player will tell you that. Even if you're in the big leagues, there's always something that you're going to try to achieve. And right now, mine's to keep moving up and get past this next level.
Well, if you can hit Clayton Kershaw, you can hit anybody, Big Ty. You can hit anybody. And Mom is like a super celebrity. She was on Good Morning America with another Louisianan, Robin Roberts, on the show today. How about that?
I saw that. That's pretty cool. I turned it on this morning, and I was like, "Oh, that's my mom right there in Good Morning America." That's pretty neat. So I'm just so ecstatic for her and for the whole family. I know how bad she wanted this one, especially after getting so close the last few years, and to see her win it was really special.
She does it every 7 years, but I think she'd rather do it a little bit sooner than the next 7 years, and we'll see for that. Real quick, this current LSU baseball team, I'm sure you followed them from afar. What do you think?
I think they've got all the pieces, and kind of remind me of the 2017 team a little bit. They've got all the pieces. You know, they haven't hit their stride yet, but neither had that 2017 team. If you remember, you know, you don't have to be the best team in the country in March, April. You have to be the best team in the country in May and June, and I think they've got a chance to do that. You know, they're a little beaten up right now. They don't have all of their pieces healthy, but I think when they get healthy, I mean, they've got a good defense, and they got the guys in the lineup they can hit, and they got the arms. So it would not surprise me at all to see them get hot down the stretch and make a run to Omaha, and then once you're there, anything can happen.
All right. Well, I grew up. My dad was from Burlington, Iowa. He was transferred down to his parents were transferred. Met my mom, married. Here I come. We listen to the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX every night. I'm the hugest St. Louis Cardinal fan in the world. You're in the Cardinals organization. It's a first class organization. So keep on raking, and let's make the jump to AAA when that time comes, and then we'll see you in the big leagues, and then I'll expect a ticket or two at Busch. How about that?
All right. It sounds like a plan to me. Can't wait.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the time. Continued success, man. A great week for your
Thank
family.
You.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kramer Robertson, kind enough to join us, hitting a homer off of Clayton Kershaw. Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. NBA playoffs begin this weekend. Grant Hughes will break it down next.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your Social Security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
TV and internet are out all over town, and you're on your backhoe staring at a hole in the ground. Could have used a shovel to clear the last few inches of dirt, but you were in a hurry. Could have been worse. There's a gas line in 20,000 volts a little farther down.
Think about it. Call 811 before you dig so the site can be marked. It's free and it's the law. Louisiana One Call, 811.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Cajun Chef says, try our pickled okra and spicy pickled green beans seasoned with our special Cajun flavor. It's excellent for party hors d'oeuvres and that special Bloody Mary. It's also a great addition to a salad bar. For you pepper lovers, Cajun Chef, boy, we've got the right kind of jalapeno peppers with just the right amount of spiciness, excellent for nachos, and a way to spruce up your pizza. Why not try jalapenos and beans, salads, gumbos, and other Cajun dishes? Why not try Cajun Chef? When you do, you'll agree, Cajun Chef is not only deliciously different, it's decidedly better. Cajun Chef.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Playoff basketball is back and ready. The long regular season, about 177 days worth of it, is over, and now the playoffs begin. And with that, we bring in our NBA analyst, the feature writer of the NBA for Bleacher Report, the one and only Mr. Grant Hughes. Finally, the fun stuff begins. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm ready to stop paying attention to 14 other teams for a while. Let's focus on the good ones.
Yes, indeed. All right. So before we get to the playoffs, it's the league that just keeps on giving. Your thoughts on why Magic Johnson did what he did, when he did it, and how he did it?
Well, I mean, the why, I mean, I think I kind of believe the why, which is just that, you know, from his perspective, this isn't any fun. And,
right.
and I get it. He's got a great life. He can do all these other things, and I don't think he was working as hard or was as interested in learning as much as you need to learn to really compete with, you know, 29 other teams that care about analytics and all these advances in player maintenance and the cap and all that. You know, it takes an army of really smart people to run an NBA organization, and I don't think he built a good enough support system, and he just wasn't around enough. So I get that. The how is the crazy part. You know, just doing it in an impromptu press conference in a tunnel without telling your boss that you're going to do it, without telling LeBron James when you met with him the day before, that's wild. But I think it's emblematic of the Lakers just being kind of a mess and really needing to get the next steps right, or this will just continue.
My theory is Magic was looking, going, man, I can't get anybody to come here and play with the guy, and this thing's going to get worse before it gets better, and I'm going to jump ship before my name gets dragged down in the dirt.
Yeah, that would change everything, right? If he knew that, you know, say they were going to get Kawhi Leonard, which they're not, or if they were going to get, or if they'd been able to get Paul George, which they couldn't, you know, that type of thing would have changed it, you know. But yeah, he has to know something, or he has to know that things don't look good. So that's definitely a factor, too.
All right. There's going to be a new champion in the East for sure. No more Cleveland Cavaliers in this thing. The Bucks are the number one seed. They take on the Pistons. Let's just go through these and get a real quick little snippet of how you feel about it. Pistons don't have a shot against Milwaukee, do they?
No, I mean, I wouldn't give him a shot even if Blake Griffin were healthy. And if you saw him play the last couple games, he had 45 earlier this week, but that was just a fluke. He's not healthy. And if he's not healthy, they have zero. They have no chance. I think that's a pretty clear sweep to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Raptors as the 2 seed taking on the 7 seed Orlando Magic. I don't see any difficulty with this one either.
No, I think Orlando could be a happy to be there kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And the Raptors really, you know, the more I think about the Raptors, the more I think them and the Bucks are kind of a coin flip now to come out of the East. Toronto just looks really good lately.
Yeah, okay. The 3-seeded 76ers taking on the overachieving, job well done, Brooklyn Nets, but I don't see the Sixers having trouble here either. Do you?
No, I mean, there's a couple. This is a little more interesting to me, mainly because Joel Embiid is possibly going to miss some time, and that changes a lot. And, you know, kind of nitty-gritty stuff. The Sixers are really bad against the pick-and-roll point guards up at the top of the key. They've struggled with, you know, anybody that can hit a pull-up three or kind of break you down as a pick-and-roll ball handler. That's a weakness of theirs. And, you know, D'Angelo Russell has a lot of limitations. The one thing he's really good at is manipulating the pick-and-roll. So, you know, I could see the Nets winning a game, maybe two if Embiid is out. But yeah, you know, I can't pick an upset there. That'd be crazy. The Nets just aren't that good.
Does the chalk continue? 4-seeded Celtics, 5th-seeded, overachieving without Victor Oladipo. They did slip a few spots, but they're still, I think, a remarkable season by the Pacers.
I want to pick the Pacers so bad. I really do. you know, it's just Marcus Smart hurt. I mean, he's going to miss that series. That's a factor. I don't like Kyrie Irving as a leader at all. I think we've learned this year that he's just not someone you depend on. But the talent discrepancy is still so big there without Oladipo. If I had to pick an upset, that'd be it, even though it's 4-5 and it's not a huge one. But, you know, Boston's got a lot of horses still, and the Pacers don't have their best player.
Yeah. A lot of chalk in the East as the 4 top seeds, I believe, and you do as well, will survive and advance in this one. Let's go out to the West. The Warriors, the number one seed, taking on the Clippers. Issues at all?
No, nothing there. I mean, the Clippers, they're going to try. They can't defend, and they're going to try to outscore everyone they play, and you can't outscore the Warriors.
Yeah, so forget that.
They may
that's
get a game when the Warriors mail it in, you know, for one of these, but there's no chance there.
Are you intrigued by the 2-seeded Nuggets and the 7-seeded Spurs?
I am. It's kind of the cliche way to look at it. You know, Denver, first year in the playoffs with this core, basically nobody but Paul Millsap has seen the postseason before. They offensively were, let me look at this just to be clear. They were 20th on offense after March 1st, Denver was. And I mean, this is a team that needs to score. the Spurs have the experience. You know, they've got Greg Popovich, all this stuff. So that could be a long series. I don't know. You know, if the Spurs have enough talent, but Denver's going to have to prove it to me, I think, basically, is the way I'd put it. We just don't know what that team's going to look like when the games really matter.
I think that's more than fair. I think the next two series in the West are the best of the first round, and that's the third-seeded Trailblazers taking on. Are we going to get the good playoff Oklahoma City Thunder? Or are we going to get some of the bad regular season Oklahoma City Thunder? I think that's the big question.
Yeah, I think there are a couple interesting things. The Thunder were under 500 after the All-Star break, and their defense, which started out so hot, it really fell off a cliff. They don't have enough shooting, all this stuff. But if you just kind of line it up and you say, all right, Paul George, you know, MVP candidate for a chunk of the year, you got Russell Westbrook, who I'm not a great fan of, but he's going to impact that series. You know, he's going to make a big difference. Steven Adams, you know, suddenly Yusuf Nurkic isn't on the other side to bang with him, so that's a factor. And C.J. McCollum's coming off an injury for the Blazers. They have Dame Lillard, which to me is probably the second best player in the series after George. I think he's a better player than Russell Westbrook. To me, you know, the Blazers just, unless Lillard can go for 40 almost every night, I'm going to have a hard time seeing where those points come from. So the Thunder have been kind of a mess. Both these teams are really nowhere near their full strength for different reasons. But I think I kind of like the Thunder to win this. And it almost doesn't feel like an upset because the Blazers are missing their starting center. But you know, it's a 6-3. The Blazers won 4 more games this year than the Thunder. I could see the Thunder taking this. And then if you look at that side of the bracket, I could take the Thunder over Denver or San Antonio, whoever comes out of that series, which is crazy to see them maybe in the conference finals.
I am with you, exactly. That would be the second year the Blazers would exit at in the first round. Last year it was the Pelicans that took care of business. And I'm intrigued by this one because I like the Utah Jazz against the Houston Rockets because I like them to be able to challenge up front. And if you get beat, I love Rudy Gobert as the rim protector on those drives. So I think this is a really intriguing matchup.
Couple things, yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you. This series, if you really wanted to distill it down, kind of becomes how many floaters can James Harden hit in a series? Because you, like you said, Rudy Gobert is going to be waiting there. They're definitely going to try to involve Gobert in every pick and roll they run, or they're going to try to make him be the guy that has to step up when Harden beats his guy in isolation, which he will. I don't care who it is out there on him. And the Jazz are not going to concede open threes. They let Gobert hang in there and say, you know, I'm going to use that wingspan, use that 9-7 standing reach and make somebody hit a tough shot. And Harden last year couldn't hit floaters, and this year he suddenly was great at it. So that's a huge thing to watch. But look, consider this, though. The Jazz have been the best defense in the league since January 1st. They've been the third best team by net rating, basically margin of victory, since January 1st. That's not like a two-week sample. That's most of the year.
Right.
So the Jazz are way better than 50-32, way better. And the Rockets have come on too, but I don't know. Flip a coin there. I think I like that to go 7, and I like the Jazz to make it really tough or even just win it.
As much as you would love to pick the Pacers over the Celtics, that's how badly, double it, I would love the Jazz to beat the Rockets. So yeah. I'm hoping that is the case. Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, kind enough to join us. I'm interested in your thoughts. The Pelicans have, I guess, narrowed down their GM search I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to have a president and a GM? What are you hearing about the Pelicans?
Well, the thing with them is things are changing now. And that's because suddenly there's this Lakers situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Rob Pelinka, who was the GM under Magic, supposedly is still going to be there, but I don't understand why you would keep the guy that is going to have a new boss installed at some point. And so really the Pelicans kind of dropped down the pecking order a little bit because obviously even with all the dysfunction, the Lakers job is going to get all the top candidates first.
Good point. Yeah.
So you got to think about that. You know, there are several other teams that you could see a shakeup. The Kings just fired Dave Yeager. Vlade Divac just consolidated power there. There's another front office shakeup. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine with the Pelicans. I mean, and really the question is going to be, will whoever is installed to replace Del Demps, you know, take a different approach? Will it be a clean slate? Will he be willing to talk to the Lakers again after, you know, Demps sort of froze him out for the, over the Davis stuff?
Right.
I don't have a good feel for that, but certainly now the Lakers are going to be the first domino to fall. And I think probably David Griffin, who has worked with LeBron before in Cleveland, has got to be the top option there. I don't know really what that leaves for the Pelicans after that.
Is Luke Walton coaching them? I mean, all of a sudden it seems like Luke Walton is in favor. Everybody knew he was going to get fired, and then Magic did what Magic did. So do you see Walton coaching them again next year?
I don't know. I think if I were Luke Walton, I don't know if I'd want to be there. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, you're going to have another new boss, most likely. Mm-hmm. Two, coaching LeBron James is really hard, and you just are never going to have as much power or say as you would for any other franchise that doesn't have LeBron James. So, and the Kings opening is one that Walton is their top candidate now for sure. And the Kings are not a model of a high-functioning NBA franchise by any stretch, but they might have it on the Lakers right now at this point.
Yeah.
So if I had to bet, I don't think he's going to be there next year. I think whoever comes in is going to want somebody else, and LeBron is going to weigh in, obviously, too. So if I had to choose, I don't think Walton's coaching the Lakers next year.
Who is the coach for LeBron? He gets rid of coaches left and right. Is there a coach out there that can handle him that I'm sure he has to respect? I mean, Pat Riley's not coming out of retirement. Phil Jackson's not coming out of retirement, or is he? Who can coach the guy?
Well, I mean, just name me the coach that, A, everyone agrees is a good X's and O's coach, good people manager, all the stuff you normally care
about.
It's
got to be Popovich.
Sure. Yeah, Popovich would be the guy. I mean, maybe Doc Rivers. I don't know. There's so few guys. All the guys you hear LeBron likes, you know, Tyronn Lue. I think Mark Jackson even is someone that LeBron has. There isn't a guy, I think, that is a good coach, one, and two, LeBron respects, that the Lakers could realistically hire. You know, so I just don't know if there is such a guy right now. And the Lakers got to figure it out. They wait for the year of LeBron's prime. And if you do it again, it's just, you know, that's like an NBA felony, basically. You can't waste years of LeBron's prime.
If they don't, does LeBron force a trade to somewhere else?
You know, I saw that possibility raised, and if I were LeBron, I don't think I'd want anything to do with the Lakers right now.
I'm telling you.
Know, but the thing is, it was his. He decided this was the place to go. He had
an idea.
Magic last summer.
I got the idea. If Anthony Davis won't go join LeBron, let LeBron come join Anthony Davis in New Orleans. There it is. Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, LeBron James. Come on.
Well, you forgot one other thing. Pelicans win the lottery and draft Zion Williamson.
There you go.
Let's do that, too.
I mean, that's crazier things have been done. If you can't bring the Peter to Paul, bring Paul to Peter. I'm grasping. Jeez Louise. Who's your MVP this year?
That's Giannis. You know, Harden did all this crazy stuff, but, you know, Giannis might be Defensive Player of the Year, too. And anytime that's in the conversation, you know, he's something different. If a guy goes 27, 12, and 5 and is also a Defensive Player of the Year candidate on the best team in the league, bigger on-off impact than Harden, all this stuff. It's crazy to say. I don't even feel like it's that close. And Harden might win it, but in my opinion, I think it's Giannis by 20.
Who's your coach of the year?
I feel like there's 10 guys you could give it to. Rivers, McMillan in Indiana. Even Jaeger, who just got fired, got the Kings turned around and almost made the playoffs. It's Budenholzer, though, with the Bucks to me. I mean, you know, he changed everything they do on both ends, and suddenly they win 60 games. It's, you know, if you're talking about, like, measurable year-over-year impact, there's nobody even close to what he did.
Finally, one last question with the Golden State Warriors is, are you pleased with what Boogie Cousins has brought to the table, or are you wishing they never did bring him to the table?
No, I you know, for as long as you and I have talked, I think we've both been out on him, right? I don't like that, you know, the things he's good at, which is, you know, high volume offense, the Warriors don't need, and the things he's bad at, you know, playing hard all the time,
right,
not poisoning the game with his attitude, defensive awareness, defensive effort. They need that stuff. He doesn't provide it. So if he doesn't play a meaningful minute in the playoffs, I think they're probably better.
He is Grant Hughes. All right, the fun begins on Saturday. We greatly appreciate your time. Sit back, relax, and enjoy it. Could get it. I don't think the first round's going to be all that great across the board, but it could get interesting after that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I like that. I think you got to kind of brush away a half of these teams, and then it'll get really good in the conference semis.
All right, enjoy it, my friend. Thank you so much, Grant.
You got it.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up. This is the Jordy Helpert Show. Hey, let's wrap up this Thursday edition brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. Frankie, one of the best there is, loves his sports, and will talk you your head off if you ask him to. Great guy with a great place. Every snack and beverage you need, that true soul food deli. They've got things for all Lenten specials. They've got those on Friday. They've got everything you need to make your journey, no matter how short or how long, all the more enjoyable for everyone in your traveling party. So DC's Little Capital Exxon, it's my go-to stop. Make it your go-to stop as well. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. That is DC's Little Capital Exxon. On this day, April 11th, we go back to the year 2004. It was a Masters moment. Phil Mickelson nailed a long birdie putt on the final hole to win the 2004 Masters, the first major win of his career. He broke through the barrier, the greatest player to never win a major, and when he got that one, he went on to win many, many more. On this date, April 11th, the year 2004, Phil breaks through at Augusta. If today is your birthday, April 11th, happy birthday, man, from all of us at 103.7 The Game and everyone involved under the Delta Media umbrella. Hope you have a great day with lots of cake and lots of ice cream. Jack Shallow, happy birthday, Jack. He was a member of Dale Brown's first coaching staff, a military man, tough, hard-nosed Jack Shallow. Happy birthday, Coach. Hope you have a great day, my friend. What a good guy. What a truly good guy. I'd like to thank our guest today, Billy Embody, talking about recruiting. Kramer Robertson, what a moment, right? Clayton Kershaw up to picks, one of the best in the business, and he hits a home run off of him. He'll never, ever forget that one. And then his mom, Kim Mulkey, cutting down the nets, winning a national championship. Quite a week for that family. And Grant Hughes on breaking down the NBA playoffs. It should be a lot of chalk early on. Let's get through the first round, and then things will get very, very interesting. But the best of the best doing their thing. Yes, indeed. Tomorrow, let's see, LSU versus Missouri in baseball. More on the Masters, the NBA playoffs. Who knows which direction we'll go? Will there be an announcement tomorrow? Is Will Wade back? Oh, they're meeting, I promise you. And the wheels are turning. We'll see what happens, so stay tuned for that. We have only one Thursday, April the 11th. Man, hope you have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. I hope you come back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Thank you all for listening to our partners that make it possible each and every day, and to my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain, cannot thank you enough. I hope everybody has a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. So until then, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.